toward God's great word. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. And I will kind of focus my mind, just a little talk here, get me going. Then if you'll help me a little bit. If you normally never say amen when you go to church, we want you to sort of say it. And if you always say it, you know, really, I need God right now in the giant economy size and the double doses. I need the red tag special. And but God's word is so good. Amen. God's word is so good. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church and the gates of hell. Now, first of all, no city takes its gates with it. No city grabs its gates and goes walking. It wasn't that. It was that the church would be moving against the gates of hell. Folks say we've got to hold our own, the gates of hell. Gates of hell is not chasing you. If you're not chasing it, you probably never do run into each other. We are moving toward the powers of darkness to press against them. The gates of hell will not prevail when you press. God has placed His church in this world as the most impacting force in any community. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The church is the most impacting force in any community today. Thank God we're a part of God's great church. We give honor to Brother Tenney, who will be speaking, so whatever I goof up today, he will smooth it right out. And you're going to just be blessed. Of course, everybody knows he is one of the greatest ministers and preachers of our day. Would you ask the Lord to bless us all in His Word one more time? Thank you. Mighty God, in Jesus' name. God, we love You, we thank You, we need You, we want You. It's good to be in Your house, good to be with Your people today. In the precious name of the Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, help us, help us, help us today. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Oh, bless His good name, what a mighty God we serve. Angel, I'll be everybody, clap your hands and magnify the Lord right now. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. The name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus. Everybody shout Jesus. You may be seated. God bless you. It was about 2 or 3 years ago, a young lady, probably 23 or 4, came to my office one morning, destitute. She had a 3-year-old child with her. She said, I have lived up here for about 4 years. I moved up here to live with a guy. We had a child, and he has abused me. I am leaving. I want to get to Florida. I have no money. I need a way to get to where I'm going. Could you help me? I said, where do you go to church? Her response was, well, you don't have to go to church to have church. You don't have to look for a be in church or part of a church. You know, you can have church anywhere. Church is just wherever you want to make it. You can be out on a creek bank and have church. I said, but you don't believe that. She said, sure. I said, no, you don't believe that. Because today when you needed money, you didn't go to the creek bank. You came where there was a building, where there was cars, where there was a sign, where there was evidence that there was people and God had come together. The strongest magnetic force known to mankind is composed of 3 non-magnetized metals, each one by themselves constitutes no drawing power whatsoever. But when you bring them together, they constitute the strongest magnetic force. When you take people full of the Spirit, baptized in His name, and then bring into them the unit together with the ministry, and then you bring them with the power of truth. You have God, you have truth, you have a church. You bring that together, you have created the most forceful power in a community that that community can understand and deal with. If you are a part of a church, and most everybody here is, the best thing that ever happened to you was when you came in, was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost power, laid your sins down. You said, I've had a lot of problems. There's a lot of problems everywhere. But when you come into the kingdom of God, you have now tied yourself with one of the greatest forces, the greatest force known to mankind that impacts the world that it is around or involved in. Everybody in this world needs the church. God needs the church. You need the church. The world needs the church. Everybody needs the church. This is the place to be in the house of God with the people of God, a part of the kingdom of God. Everybody needs to be a part of God's great and glorious church. The church is that substance and that force and that unit and that power that is saved by grace, by faith, and by works. What you believe as a child of God, never be intimidated by what you believe. Never, never, never let anybody intimidate you by what you believe. Several years ago, I pastored a church I started. The city I'm in majors in intimidation. And they've intimidated me for several years. Finally, the Lord gave me a complete victory and an attitude to resist their attitude against me. The door opened, blessings have come. And once you rise up and realize that as a church, you may be small, 30, 40 people in a rented storefront place. You are, in that unit alone, you are still the most impacting force in that community. I remember that the day that the sheriff come out to serve me papers, arrest me, we had started a Christian school. And he walked in and said, I'm looking for Reverend Davis. I said, oh, is that right? He said, yep, I have papers here for his arrest. I said, well, you know, he was here a little bit ago. And he said, yeah, he was as close to me as you are right now. They were just, but he's gone to the Bahamas. They left a little bit ago. He's gone. And he said, what am I going to do with these papers? I said, burn them. I don't know. And I said, no, I'm Reverend Davis. And so we were in violation of having a Christian school without zoning approval. I made up my mind at that day, no more would I be a non-fighter. Would I be just intimidated and let the power and the pressures come again? We are the people of the Lord. This is a great and a glorious church. We are saved by grace. Now, grace is God's attitude toward us. We're saved by faith. Faith is our attitude toward God. And we're saved by obedience. These are the things we do to accommodate the Word of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And by faith, Noah prepared, built, labored, worked an ark that would save he and his household. Don't be intimidated by what we believe. If anybody asks you, are you saved by faith? Yes. Are we saved by grace? Yes. Are we saved by works? Yes, not works of the law and works of righteousness, but by His mercy has He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is good to be born again. It is good to have the Holy Ghost. It is good to be empowered with God. It is good to know the name that is above every name. It is good to have the gifts of the Spirit. It is good to know that we can move heaven and we can move hell. God has a church in this world for a reason. You may be seated. In Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul said, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews, which meant that my mom and dad both were Hebrew. This is not a partial, but a full Hebrew. He said, so I got my religion from Hebrew. From the Hebrew church, from the Hebrew people. He said in Acts 21, he said, I am Greek in my culture. And then in Acts 22, he said, I am a citizen of Rome. He said, so I get my religion from the Hebrews. I get my culture from Greece and from the Greeks. And then I get my government from Rome. But the Hebrew world of religion and the Greek world of culture and the Roman world of government did not make me what I am. I am what I am by the grace of God Almighty.
This world has its religion, and they have their government, and they have their culture. That is not what made the church what it is. It's not the Hebrew world of religion, and the Greek world of culture, or the Roman world of government. I am what I am. Because a long time ago, the grace of God appeared. God arrested my spirit. God brought us out of darkness. He called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. We are a church to be reckoned with in our society. Everybody say praise God. We are the church of Jesus Christ. I was 3 years ago, I was in a Bible discussion in Alabama with a computer specialist dealing with the name of Jesus Christ and the importance of it to be uttered and said at water baptism. And he said, "Mr. Davis, we are the church of Christ." And I got up and said, "Well, not really. Only we don't know. Bible said in the last days, lo, there'll be many Christs. Christ here, Christ there. You being the church of Christ, we don't know which Christ you're talking about. We are the church of Christ, but we know which Christ we're talking about. We are the church of Jesus Christ. The only Jesus Christ church. That's us." A lady called one time and talked to me and said, "I am from the church." I said, "Which church?" She said, "The Church of Rome, the Catholic Church." I said, "That's not the church. We are the church. You're not the church." She said, "Oh yes, we are the church." I said, "No, we're the church." She said, "Well, where do you get that from?" I said, "Your church sets on 7 hills of Rome. Our church sets on 1 hill. You got 6 hills too many. We are the church on the hill, the light of the world, born of water and spirit, embedded with biblical text and truth. We know this truth." Ladies and gentlemen, God has a church in this world that's here to impact the society that we live in. Praise God. Everybody say praise God. I love being a part of God's great church. And let me move on as fast as I can to remove myself from your place here and not be a burden. But Balaam took a ride with Balak, and Balak took him to a high place and said, "Curse those people." Elijah started blessing them. He said, "They look so good." And he said, "I didn't want you to say that. Let's go over here." And then he took him over to Pisgah, which means a hard, harsh place. And he took him there and he looked out and said, "Oh, how beautiful, how wonderful, how great. They're like a lion. They're strong. They're forceful. I told you I didn't want you saying that." And then he took him to a Peor, which means a very dangerous place. And Balaam looked out and started again blessing and saying great things about him. He said, I brought you here to curse them, not to bless them. And his response is, "You can't help it. God's church looks good anywhere you see it. When you're in a high place, a hard place, a rough place, a difficult place, it doesn't matter where you are. When you look at the church just right, God's church looks good anywhere you see it. I love her doctrine. I love her worship. I have measured her bulwarks. I love the way God's church is. We're not just a backwoods group of people trying to have a religious activity. We are the people that has the power. We have the name. We know His presence. This is God's great and glorious church." Ladies and gentlemen, we are not a group of people that has a wild ambition to move on the other side of the tracks. We are the called. There is a difference between ambition and call. David had a call. Absalom had an ambition. David survived and rose to the top. Absalom brought shame, reproach, and death and division. Ambition is reckless. A call. We are here because we are the called according to His purpose. He called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. We've been called to holiness. Holiness is a call. It's not a set of standards. It's not a set of rules. It's a call. It's a dimension of God. It's a duplicate of the original. He called us out of darkness. Come on, this is a call that is on our life. Romans 12:1. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, Scriptures, your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. We do not believe we should be conformed. We don't believe we need to be reformed. We've already been transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost and in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't ever doubt what you are. Don't ever doubt what you've got. Don't ever doubt where you're going. There's no religious body in the world that can do in one service what we as God's people can do in one service. There is no orchestra that can play like our orchestra. None of their people can preach like our people. We are a force to be reckoned with. We are the church. We affect. That's right. Never be down about what you are. Don't be intimidated about what you are. I was coming out of the mall in my city, and there was a couple of guys, Hare Krishna. And they were talking to people, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, would you like to buy this book that will help you know God? And I said, no, no, thank you. And I walked on. And he came in front. What? You need to know God. I said, no, it's okay. I'm going to go. No, you need to know. And I stopped. I said, okay, I know God. I know His name. I know His power. I know He is a spirit. He is without beginning. He is without ending. He is eternal, and the eternality of His nature can never be measured. He is one in essence and being and in spirit. We don't want to. I said, oh, you ain't going nowhere. You started. You stand right here. You're going to listen to me. Then a crowd started gathering around. I love, every time I preach, I always mention this one God idea, because it's not what we created, and it's not what religion created. It's God come up with this. There is only one God, and His name is Jesus. And the name Jesus embraces the whole panorama of deity. It's so good. Praise God. Praise God. The church. Oh, if you leave this conference feeling good about God and the church, you will achieve something between now and next year. When you return, you will achieve something. We are so easily intimidated. The world doesn't have what we got. I was in a meeting. The chief of police called several pastors together. And he was asking what could be done to help the community of our city and crime problem. And he said, Reverend Davis, do you have an answer? I said, well, yes, I do. But the crime among young people, you won't let us go in and preach and pray to them where the greatest congestion of youth are. We're outlawed. And I said, it makes it very difficult. Well, I'm not for that. I want y'all in there. I said, well, I understand, but still, that's the problem. And then he said, well, our justice system is as... I said, Chief Avery, we do not have a justice system. We have a legal system that is designed to bring us to justice. Often it creates greater injustice. So I said, what we need to do in the law enforcement agency... My son is a police officer in our community... What we need to do is move back to the principles of justice, which is getting what you deserve. And when you don't want what you deserve, you only have one option. That's mercy. And mercy only comes to the man who wants it with repentant and changed heart and attitude. So I said, when you say justice system, it's not. It's a legal system that brings us to this point of justice, supposedly, but often it does not. The greatest place of justice and mercy is in the kingdom of God among the people of God. We don't have a legal system. We have a justice system that is put on hold till mercy can demonstrate its power and itself. If not, then justice goes into effect. Nobody will reverse what God does. Nobody will reverse the message that God has given. There is one message for salvation. And it's not come to Jesus and get a bumper sticker and a New Testament for your shirt pocket. It is death, burial, and resurrection. It's faith, repentance, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the glorious infilling of the Holy Ghost. It is so good. to be a part of God's great church. Now, the church is the sustaining place of our lives. There's about 4 points I'll make. Number one, the church is the sustaining. God has designed His church to sustain you. Now, I will reach back into last night's message by Brother Jones only to lift a little point out. When the manna came to the people, the commandment was to get it today. Don't get excess. It will spoil tomorrow. On the sixth day, you get enough for today and tomorrow. Now, one family decided to pull it and see if what they say really works. And so they slept in. Well, when Mabel went over and lifted the top off of the little cupboard to get out the manna that fell yesterday. Come here, Ned. It stank. Stanketh. Spiritual term. It was wormy. Because their house had not been designed to house and sustain what God did in their life. But when they put it in a bowl, put it in the ark, and brought it into the holiest of holies, into the presence of God, under the Shekinah glory, under mercy, overshadowed with angelic hosts, in that world, in the world of those perimeters, it lasted for generations after generations after generations. When a man is born again of water and spirit, the world is not designed to hold him in that experience and let him and cause him to grow. He must then be a part and remain a part of the kingdom of God. So if someone gets the Holy Spirit and then goes back into the world, the lifespan is only a few hours. But if they are brought into the harbor of a church body, then they can last for years upon years upon years upon years. Nothing in this world is conducive to a Holy Ghost experience and a walk with God. When they put Moses in a little basket and pushed him down the river, they said to his sister, "Trot along." And when they rescue him from the river, remember, these Egyptians, they don't know how to tend to Hebrew babies. They don't know what they got. So you just volunteer your services. Come on, you hear right now? And when they found the baby Moses, Miriam said, "Hey, I know a Hebrew that can take care of what you have. This is a Hebrew experience. The charismatic world cannot handle people who receive the Holy Spirit baptism. They do not know what to do with this experience in someone's life. That's why you have to have a mama and you have to have a church. Nobody knows how to bounce a newborn like the church does. Nobody knows how to pinch their cheek or manage their formula like the church does. So when you're born again of water and spirit, the world doesn't have a place for you. It's right here in the house of God. You can live for God. You can grow. You can serve. You can be a child of God." That's right. When people receive the Holy Ghost in our church, first thing we do is assign someone to them that will be their friend, their helper, their overseer, work with them, tend to them, check with them, and feed me attitude and response so we can govern and help them grow in God. The next thing we tell them, if you come to church, it doesn't take you how long to grow. There's no time limit. If you come, you will grow. If you don't, you will die. There's no options. God has designed this place. Nowhere else! Now, when we complain about a world that takes prayer out of school and Bible out of school, there may be problems and argument with that. But if the only way your child's going to learn to pray is have a pagan teacher to teach them, that's not going to cut it. Our children should learn to pray because we know to pray. They should love God because we love God. There is a Bible that we teach. We're not going to lean on the world to teach our kids to live for God. That's our job. That's us! Pray. So the church is that impacting force in the community. Now, the second point. The church is the place you build your walk with God. Now, the world calls people Christian who is religious. In Antioch, they were first called Christians at Antioch, but that was only 1 year after their conversion and had been taught by the Apostle Paul. Christian stamp was not placed on them at conversion, but after a walk with God had been established. You hear? And I thought it was good, but nobody said nothing. So in the church, we start building a walk with God. Now, here's my point. We have to know the difference between this. Walking with God or walking with people who walk with God. Huh? So our Bible college young folks, you have to know the difference than building a walk with God in the church. Than merely walking with your friends and your professors and supervisors who are walking with God. Abraham walked with God. Lot walked with Abraham. While Abraham walked with God, Lot never walked with God. Lot never knew God. Lot knew Abraham's God, but Lot never knew Lot's God. That's why his world fell apart. David walked with God. Joab, his nephew, walked with David, while David walked with God. Joab never walked with God. Elisha walked with God. Gehazi walked with Elisha, while Elisha walked with God. Gehazi died a leper. So you've got to understand that I just can't walk with mom and dad. I've got to walk with God. In a Bible college, you can't just walk with professors and walk through semesters. You have to walk with God. You have to have a walk with God. That's why sometimes a couple comes to church and then the father or the husband dies. 6 months later, the wife is not there. What happened to her? She was not walking with God. She walked with her husband while he walked with God. When he prayed, she said yes. She bowed her head. When he worshiped, she sat there smiling. When he was in the altar, she stood about 4 seats back. You can't do that. You have got to walk with God. You have got to walk with God. You have got to believe the truth. You have got to believe the truth. Recently, our church went through a difficulty. 3 or 4 of our young people lost out with God. And these 3 young people were my daughter, who's 19 years old. Annie is 19. A great looking girl, great singer, beautiful girl. If anybody needs a good Christian girl, she's 19. If you can hold about 12 to 14 years, she'll be ready for you. But she is a great girl. And her circle shrunk. One day she sat by me, started to cry. She said, all my friends has walked away, and I'm kind of confused right now. I said, your world of friends has shrunk, but your world with God is where it's always been. She said, I love holiness. I love God. I love modesty. I don't want the world. I want to live for God. But I'm just going to have to locate some new friends. If her walk with God had been with her friends, I would have lost my daughter when the current swept through our church. But she is shouting and dancing and modest and godly. Her hair has never been cut. She was born at home. She lives for God. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't walk with people because they walk with God. You have got to get a faith of your own. You've got to get a worship of your own. You've got to learn to dance when nobody dances. You've got to learn to rejoice when nobody's rejoicing. You've got to learn to sing when nobody else is singing. You've got to learn to cry and pray when nobody else wants. This is my walk. Don't mess with my walk with God. I love you. I think you're a great man, but I just can't walk with you. I got to walk with God first and then you. And if you decide you don't believe this truth and don't love this truth, goodbye. I'm walking on with God. I'm walking with God. I don't want my kids to walk with me first. You walk with God first and then we'll walk on together. But God is number one. Walk with God. You may be seated. That's why parents here, preachers and their wives. And we do have preachers and their wives that's real involved in the work of the Lord, you think. But remember, how busy you are is not how much God is using you. I'm just busy. I can't get it all done every day. You are busy. But that may not mean that God is using you. You have to have time for that family, for those children. I set my crowd down. I have two boys. One was here. He flew out this morning. He's flying to Atlanta. And he preaches the next 3 nights in Columbia, South Carolina for Brother Scott Smith. But Trey is a great preacher. And two and a half years ago, we went through a terrible difficulty. When the doctor told us the tumor in his chest was the size of a basketball. He said, "Your son has cancer." I was afraid, but God moved in, and in 4 weeks, 5 weeks, the doctor said, "I've never seen anything like this. The X-ray is normal. The thing is gone." My son walked with God. And when they told us about his difficulty in the hospital, I bowed my head and I get broke up with this. I can't help it. I started to cry and he got up and walked over and said, "It's going to be okay, Dad. It's going to be okay." Our roles reversed. They will. You have got to have a walk with God. "Well, I can't help what I believe." That's not true. Believing is an act of will. We believe what we choose to believe. And I choose to believe His Word. Someone asked me, said, "Do you ever have doubts about holiness and Christian living?" I said, "Yes, I do." But my doubts never cause me to react negative, since I don't know I will do it. I will do it only if I know. And if I don't know, then I'm not going to do it. I sense what is right. Everything is not always black and white. But when a group of God's people feel something is against what we're trying to do, then I can yield to that, where the Bible may be silent on a particular issue. I have chose to walk with God. I've had good friends foul out. I've had distant family members foul out. But I have made up my mind. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to live for God. We're going to magnify God. We're going to be a holy people, a godly people. I come to this church to build a walk with God. When they said, "When you get ready to free a slave after 6 years and he goes into the seventh year and where he can be free, he comes before the elders of the people, he must plainly say..." He can't come out and say, "Yeah, I love my master. I like the guy." He must plainly... Everybody, "I must plainly say, I love my master. I choose no freedom."
I've had people say to the Pentecostal church, young folks, you're in legalism and you have to live a certain thing and there's a certain bondage you're in. And you should say, yes, there is. There certainly is a certain bondage. Because the Bible said if the unbelieving depart, then those that's married is no longer under bondage. When you tie your life to Jesus, you are bound to Him, bound to His name, bound to His blood, bound to His word. Yes, sir, there is a bondage that brings liberty and a bondage that brings power. So don't be intimidated by this world. They're in a mess. They're in a mess. They're in a mess. They're in a mess. And they can't help you. They're in a mess. We are the people. We have the answer. Let's have a walk with God. Let's have a journey with the Lord. The third thing, let me hurry. The third thing is that in the church, I have an encounter with God. I have encounters with God. There is an experience. There are encounters we have in God. You feel good about your church. When you walk in there, you walk in worshiping God. Enter into His courts with praise. Into His gates. Well, I just don't, feeling has nothing to do with it. You don't worship God because you feel worship. You worship God because you love, because you know. I know in whom I have believed that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I rejoice because I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I will joy in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I rejoice because I know I have passed from death unto life. It's not what I feel. Sometimes I don't feel anything. But I know! I know! I know! And therefore I sing, I shout, I rejoice, and I magnify God. I come into His courts with praise. I am there to have an encounter with God. Now let me give you just a short expression of the nature of God. The power of God is His strength to do. The authority of God is His right to do it. The wisdom of God is the prudence by which He does what He does. The knowledge of God, is it within the essence? Is it feasible, possible? Can it be done? Yes, it can be done. The will of God decrees that it be done. The power of God executes and allows it to be done. When we come into the house of God, there is goodness. Goodness gives motivation to everything that God is. Holiness gives purity to everything that God is. So therefore, God being holy says, I can save you. In wisdom, He says, here's how it can be done. In knowledge, this is the best way to do it. In goodness, I'm motivated to do it. With my will, I decree that it be done. With my power, I bring it to pass. With my authority, only I have the right to do whatever I do. So when you say, God, I want healing, then He says, can it be done? Yes, it can. I have the power. Should it be done? Well, yes. I'm goodness. I am motivated to do that. Do you have the authority? No one but me. I receive my authority from no source. Yes, I am going to heal you. When you come to the house of God, you step into the manifest presence and the power of the eternal God. And God is moved with His goodness. And His holiness will never let Him violate the nature of whatever He may be. God cannot do you unjust and unfair. Holiness will prohibit that from ever happening. So therefore, when someone says, God can do anything, that's not true. He can only do what He wills Himself to do. And He can never will Himself to do something He should not do. So if someone says to God, I hate them, I hate them, I hate the church, destroy them. God says, I can't will myself to do that which is not right. But I can bless my church. I can bring my church through. I can help my church. I can heal the church. I can deliver the church. When I come into the contact of God, when I walked into this place today, I came in here to make contact with the presence and with the power of God Almighty. I come to have an encounter with God. And ever so often we are overwhelmed with services that just touch us.
They move us into dimensions of His presence. He touched the blind man. Do you see? Well, I see good. Then He touched him again. Oh, in the presence of God, the more He touches, the better you see. The more He touches, the better you see. So you come into His presence and you keep being touched over. That just comforts your touch. You're already seeing things a little bit better. A little bit better than you did when you came. This great church. This is a wonderful church. It's a great place to be. It's a great thing. Now, never, never, never look beyond the doors of this great church body and wish you was in another group because they happen to be larger and different. Woodrow Wilson said, "I give men positions to see if they will grow or swell." Huh? Well, when I get up in the morning, I look down, I wear a size 8 shoe. But all of a sudden, my other foot is a size 10. And I say, "My, what did I eat that made my foot grow?" But no, my foot did not grow. My foot is swollen. Religion is swelling. The church is growing. When you see churches in your community just swelling, don't fear. Don't worry. We're growing. We're growing. We're growing. We're growing. We're growing. And our growth is in right proportion to the whole. It is in right proportion to everything that it should be. Now let me bring her to a closing point. Finally, my brethren. Paul said that and he wrote 147 verses. So finally, my brethren. Everybody say amen. Joseph was in prison. And there was someone there with him, two others. And he began to give an interpretation. And then he said to the chief butler, he said, "You're going to get out of here. In a few days, they're going to get you out and they're going to bring you to the king's table and you'll have on the king's garments and you'll drink from the king's goblets. You'll serve the king. You'll eat king's food." And then he said, "When it's well with you, please remember me back here. When you get to that kingdom and you leave this prison, I don't want to be here. I want out. Would you remember me?" "I will." And he got out. In 2 years, he completely forgot. And then one day, the king had a troubled dream. He said, "I need somebody." And the chief butler said, I have made an error." He said, "There is someone who told me that when I get out of prison, would I remember him that is still there? And show kindness and get him out." Well, here we are in this great church. And every one of us that came in, we left a whole bunch behind. We did. Oh, there are so many. And man, we come to meetings and we drink from the rich goblets of biblical texts and truth. We feed on royalty. We are clothed in godly righteousness. And sometimes someone has to remind us that this kingdom is not for us only. We love somebody in the prison. Somebody. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Your church and your community is the most impacting. And someone can visit your church out of just strange and walk in and feel the presence of God. We had a man, this is one of the unique experiences, we had a man come in one Sunday, did not like anything about it. He left and interfered with his family whom we were teaching a Bible study. 5 years later, I received a call when I visited him in the hospital. He was 57 years old.
He said, Reverend Davis, I have cancer. I am dying. I'm not even really interested in being healed, but I am lost. I need God. I came to your church 5 years ago, and I was so unkind and so ungracious. I didn't know if you'd even come. I said, well, I'm glad to. What would you like? What can we do to help you? I just would like to be saved. That's all. Can I be saved? I said, why, of course. And so I said, the Lord will help you. So we talked and prayed, and I left and went back a couple of days later, and he said, the test came back. I have a few months. I am dying, and we've got to hurry. I don't want to be lost. And so I said, but you can have the Holy Ghost right here. I said, but why did you call me? He said, your church. I didn't like what y'all said and done the way you did, but there was an end. You moved me, and I've never shook it off. And now that I'm dying, I know you are my help and my source of salvation. And so another minister was with me. We placed our hand on his head as he sat on the side of the bed. In his pajama pocket was a monitor that was being governed and monitored at the nurse's station. And he started to repent and cry. And then his lips started doing that funny like that kind of stuff. And then his tongue went out and he started talking in tongues. And then he was a gushing and a weeping and a talking in tongues. And the bed was shaking. And the whole place was wild. And emotions was high. And all of a sudden, here comes two nurses, and they said, what in the world is going on? I said, what do you mean? She said, the monitor in our station is going haywire. Something is wild going on with his heart. And he said, I have been filled with the Holy Ghost. I have the Spirit and the power of God in my life. And she said, I knew something was going on. I've never seen it happen. I said, ma'am, we've always told people that when you get the Holy Ghost, it will affect your heart. It's not documented. I said, we want to baptize this man in Jesus' name. And she said, sir, this is a hospital. We don't have a baptistry. I said, you surely should have water. Well, we do. We'll get to it as soon as we can. I said, no, we got to do it now. She said, sir, I don't know. I said, oh, we can call his doctor and tell him. And he'll get all over you. I know doctor, get on nurses, he'll do it. Just a minute, please. She come back and said, in the morning, would that be okay? I said, we can wait one more night. So the next day, they took us down to the therapy area, a therapy pool. And we put him on a table. And I couldn't get in with him, but it was done electronically. And there was a black lady, a nurse there, who happened to have contact with God. And a young black orderly who said, Reverend, I am here to help you. I said, well, what I'm going to do is place my hand on his head. And I want you to let him down into the water till all that's out is his head. We're going to bury him. And his eyes got big and he said, now, what do we mean by this? I said, you just do what I say. I'm going to put my hand on his head and I'm going to say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. You start the motor, bring him down, reverse it real quick, get him up. We had several with us. The Holy Ghost started to move. Women, you know how women are. They talk in tongues. Just tell them there's a good sale at the mall. And they started talking in tongues. And there was the move of God. Everybody said, that's right, I know mall. My wife has a mall ministry. God uses her at malls. She's got a mall ministry. And so the Holy Ghost started to move. And the people in there started to feel God. And the black orderly started getting nervous. He said, now, Reverend, is this thing going to kind of get? I said, it's going to get out of hand. Apparently, looks like it is. I said, you just pay attention to me. Don't worry about anything else. I said, now we're going to get ready to baptize him. And then this man started, he just started, he's crying. He's talking, he's like, woo, Jim, woo, Jim. And he was going at it. I said, hold off till I get you under, and I got to raise you up. Don't slide off this table. I don't know how we're going to pull you out. Don't you mess up right here. And so I said, in the name of Jesus Christ. And then I heard that motor zzzz, mechanical baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. It's just the water. It's just bury. You got to bury, 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 bury. It's not in the water. It's in the name of Jesus. The water's the grave, but the name of the blood come together for remission of sins. And we took him down in Jesus' name, and the motor reversed, and when he started coming up, he was just a spit and a spitting and a talking in tongues in a hospital, born again, impacted by a church. Let's all stand to our feet. By a church! Your church is the most impacting force in your community. Listen to me. When you walked into your church Sunday morning, every pastor, every pastor's wife, minister, music director, singers, saints, when you walk into your church Sunday, walk in there with this attitude, God is going to use our church to change some lives. God's going to use our preacher today to move somebody. Come on, get rid of that. I don't know what we're going to do Sunday. God is going to use our singers. Our singers. We're going to alter the course. Young people. People tell you that to hang around church and religion, you're kind of wasting your life. True, which is true. Always agree. That just messes everybody up when you agree. But he said this. Now get the wording. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake. Now get the wording. Nowhere in there do you save life. Nowhere. Life is always diminishing. It's always shrinking. The devil would have you believe that in the church you're losing a lot of time. In the world you are too. Nowhere do you gather time. Nowhere do you gather years. Nowhere can you go today and say, I will now live 3 years longer. It's not there. So the point is, since I'm going to lose my life, since my life is shrinking, since it is diminishing, then I'm not going to lose it around drugs and immorality and garbage. I'm going to lose it in the choir. I'm going to lose it in the altar. I'm going to lose it. I've lost about 18 years preaching. I've lost about 12 years in the altar. I don't know how many years I've lost praising God and talking in tongues. And so you're losing your life. So the best thing to do is walk into your church and take all the energies we got in that church and all the talents we got in that church and put them all together and say, this service, this morning, this night, this service, this church, God is going to use our church.